Spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will be taken away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. We continue with the sermon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lamb who was slain has begun to reign. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. This is the feast of victory. Feel the thrill of victory. What does victory feel like? It feels great to get an A on a test or get a promotion at work. It's a great feeling to win a youth soccer game or watch your kids win. Victory feels wonderful. I'm not old enough to remember the feeling when the U.S. won a war. But I imagine the end of World War II must have been incredible for those at home and those in the fight. The fighting is over. The war is won. The enemy is defeated. The sacrifices have been worth it. Victory is ours. What does victory feel like? For avid sports fans, it's that feeling when your team wins the national championship. Whole cities lose their minds with elation of being the victorious champions. Try to imagine for a moment that feeling of victory. The joy, the excitement, the elation, the utter jubilation. Now take that feeling and multiply it by 100. 1,000, 1,000,000. This is the feast of victory for our God. The Lamb who was slain has begun to reign. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is the greatest victory of all times. Jesus has the victory, and he gives the victory to you. For those old enough to remember ABC's Wide World of Sports, there is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And since we are celebrating victory, it means someone has been defeated. Who today suffers the agony of defeat? Christ is risen. Early that Sunday morning, 2,000 years ago, Jesus emerges from the tomb alive and well, and sin is defeated. Death is defeated. The devil is defeated. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, and the Lamb rises from the dead to show total victory. Christ is risen. Jesus defeats sin. Sin is your enemy, and your enemy has been defeated. Now, sin is tricky. You are a natural born sinner who likes to sin. But as a baptized child of God, you're called to struggle against sin. The struggle often does not go well. It's very frustrating to realize that you are in bondage to sin and cannot free yourself. Why are you a sinner? Are you a sinner because you sin? Or do you sin because you are a sinner? Which statement is better? I am a sinner because I sin, or I sin because I am a sinner? It's the second. You sin because you are a sinner. And when did you become a sinner? At the moment of conception. You inherited sin from your father, who got it from his father, all the way back to great-great-grandpa Adam. You sin because you're a sinner, and that does not seem fair. But it is the way it is. You try to stop sinning, but as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you don't really know how bad you truly are until you try really hard to be good. The struggle with sin is frustrating. It can lead some people to become self-righteous, and they'll say things like, well, I might be a sinner, but I'm not as bad as that guy over there. Or it can lead you to despair because you just think, I can never be good enough. But neither of these is necessary. Jesus has defeated sin. Jesus has canceled the power of sin. Jesus has victory over sin. Jesus has covered over your sin with his robe of righteousness. While you still struggle with sin and temptation, the war has been won. When God looks at you, he does not see your sin, but rather he sees Jesus' perfection covering you. Jesus declares you to be righteous, innocent, and blessed. Jesus proclaims your sins are forgiven, and if Jesus declares it to be true, it's true. In Christ, you are a saint of God. As we hear in 2 Corinthians 5, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You are forgiven all your sins because Jesus' death and resurrection has been applied to you. Sin has been defeated. Christ is risen. Death has been defeated. Death is defeated. And this is huge. Anyone who has stood beside the grave of a loved one knows that death is the enemy. Death feels so absolute, so devastatingly final. At the grave, it really seems that death has the victory. But Jesus' resurrection changes all that. Jesus defeats death. As we heard last week at Lazarus' grave, Jesus announces, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. In your baptism, you have been given the gift of eternal life. Though you die, yet shall you live. As Christians, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope, because the grave is not forever. On the last day, Jesus will call you out of the grave, and your spirit and body will be reunited, and you will rise up in your perfected, imperishable, immortal body to go live with Jesus forever. And as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the feast of victory for our God. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus is victorious over the devil. That wily liar has been slithering around since the Garden of Eden, repeating his age-old question of temptation. Did God really say? The lying devil calls God a liar. And your sinful side loves to hear that and think that, because if God is lying, then you can pursue all kinds of things that God has forbidden. On that Friday, the devil thought that the cross was the end of Jesus. The devil thought he was victorious, but the devil was wrong. While the devil did not know it, Jesus conquered Satan on the cross at Golgotha, and the victory was complete at Sunday morning at the empty tomb. That Sunday morning, Jesus descended into hell to preach a victory sermon to the spirits in prison. As we read in Colossians 2, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The devil has been defeated. He has been bound and cast into the bottomless pit. The devil cannot seize you and drag you away. He cannot take hold of you unless you invite him in. Now, the devil is still in the world, and you still need to be on guard against his deceptions and temptations. You need to stay aware of the devil's yearnings to have you stop loving God and stop loving your neighbor and instead follow your own desires and make sin your lifestyle. The devil's wily. But the old evil foe is like a dog on a chain. It is easy to avoid a chained up dog. But he will try to get you to come close and pet him by making sin seem harmless and normal. Do not be fooled. While restrained, the devil can still tempt. So know his temptations. As we learn in James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You do not belong to the devil. You do not answer to the devil. The devil will try to accuse you of your sins. Rebuke him. Martin Luther wrote in a letter to a friend, "When the devil throws our sins up to us and declares we deserve death and hell, we ought to speak thus. I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? Does this mean that I shall be sentenced to eternal damnation? By no means. For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction in my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Where he is, there I shall be also." When the devil tries to accuse you, remind the devil that he has been defeated. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
This is a feast of victory for our God. You have the thrill of victory. Sin, death, and the devil have the agony of defeat. The victory has been won. The victory is yours in Christ. Today we rejoice as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and victory over sin, death, and the devil. Today we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. But this is not a once-a-year celebration. We celebrate victory each Sunday as we remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Each Sunday, we remember the greatest Sunday, Victory Sunday, as we again receive the gifts of God's forgiveness and eternal life. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins.
resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. Almighty God, you kept your promise and delivered up your own Son to be our Savior. By his sacrificial death, our sins are forgiven. And by his rising again, we have the hope of everlasting life. Keep us in this holy joy throughout the Easter season and all our daily lives, that we may not fear our enemies, nor give in to the temptation of despair in our days of trouble. Lord, in your mercy, be with Matthew, our Synod President, Kevin, our District President, and all our pastors. Keep them faithful to deliver to your people the apostolic gospel of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, let us hold fast the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all that so doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Lord, in your mercy. Bless Joseph, our president, and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces that they stand watch for us at home and abroad. Let them serve in honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially Jimmy, Debbie, Gwen, Roxanne, Rosalie, Brian, Sherry, Grace, Don, Parker, Carolyn, Bob, Sandy, Sally, Danielle, Kelly, Rob, Burl, Jenny, Amanda, and Ella. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them their new health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy, give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar. In the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith, overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we praise your holy name, O Lord, for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We pray that you will not abandon us to Sheol, but that when we awake in the resurrection of all flesh, your presence will give us joy. Lord, in your mercy, we join today in singing eternal hallelujahs with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially we bow and praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name. Evermore praising you and saying, as he bids us to do in his Old Testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For God is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Saying, "We also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Welcome to the Lord's table.
drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Eat and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you for your sins.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith and the life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. freshness through the sanitary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.